Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Ernest, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now.
How do you negotiate like a budget? How do you know what a fair budget is?
If ain't nothing fair. I need all of it. Fair. That's relative.
No. Well,
I want all of it. And so, you know, because you have to realize what someone is paying for. Like, they get Earn Your Leisure, the podcast, but they also get two entities with this podcast.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, backdrop.
Backdrop.
A mic drop. Backdrop.
Backdrop.
All right, guys, welcome back, EYL. This is going to be a dope, fun conversation. We had to cut the actual off-camera conversation off.
That's going
to
be a limited edition.
Yes, that's NFT.
That's NFT.
Yes.
We'll explain that to you.
Thank you. It
seems you still need some explaining.
I need some explaining. I'm here to learn so that we're clear.
Yes. So, Miss Diddy, this is something that we've been looking forward to for a long time. So
Rashad.
This is gonna be clean. Look like
just like
you're gonna chop this up and use this going forward.
Listen, yeah. This is good. This is me.
Here we go.
Just like my brother Kenny Burns, a lifestyle specialist.
That came from Kenny Burns.
Yeah, shout out to Kenny. A coordinator of events, brands, marketing, social media, influencer, all of the above.
The ambassador
of LA.
Of Los Angeles.
Yes, yes. Born and raised in Los Angeles County from Compton, California.
Correct.
Right? But it's all love. All LA. Right?
All LA.
All of LA.
I'm an LA girl. West Coast girl.
California love.
West.
Literally.
West.
So this is going to be a super dope conversation. We're going to talk about brand partnerships. We're going to talk about social media influencer. We're going to talk about promotions and how she's actually been able to build her empire organically through solid relationships.
Yeah.
So first and foremost, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you. You know, I practiced this beginning part.
Let's do it. It's been long overdue.
Thank you guys. And I want to, beyond thanking you guys for having me here, but I really want to be very intentional and specific about giving you gentlemen your flowers. You know, your kingdom work that you guys are doing is something that you may not fully understand the magnitude of it for years to come. You think you do. You don't.
Appreciate that.
Because it's really changing. The world is changing lives. And one thing that you guys preach across the board is the information, the education, and getting it to our people. And because a lot of us grew up the way we grew up, there's a lot of information that our families didn't give us. Mm-hmm. And our parents, I know for me, you know, parents did what they could and they were great. But there's a lot of information about life and money and finances and things that they never, ever taught me. I know survival. Got that down pat, you know, and so, but there the other components to really live a life fulfilled. There's a lot of things they didn't teach me, and maybe they didn't weren't fully taught, right? Mm-hmm. But I want to make sure that I say on record that what you guys are doing is God's work, and it's going to continuously be a change for the world. And I'm honored to sit here and to share a generation with you guys. You know what I mean? I
appreciate that.
For sure.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
From survival to thriving.
Literally.
So let's get into this. So you are the president of the marketing agency, the Brand Group LA. Mm-hmm. But I want to bring it back.
Okay.
So how did you start into, you know, I think you started as a party promoter, right?
Technically, yes.
So that's interesting because most party promoters, at least on our side, are men.
Yeah.
It's a very male-dominated industry, party promotion. So how did you get into that world?
You know, I had a real good advantage being born and raised from Los Angeles in we were having a conversation before the camera started. This fantasy island, you know, and so, you know, this is where people come to make it. And if you're fortunate enough to be amongst those people in so many different worlds and melting pots, then if you're smart and you do your thing, you can thrive. But I really started my own journey because my father was a musician. A lot of people in my family are music and I grew up around it. But I started my own journey when Ye started Good Music. So John Monopoly at the time was the president, and he's always worked with Ye throughout the years. And that's Ye is actually how I know Kenny Burns.
Okay.
And so, yeah, because, you know, Kenny Burns had he's always had a lot of hand in a lot of things.
That's
true.
And
really assisting a lot of people, which, you know, he'll never say. He's just so solid like that. But I started when Good Music started, and on the promotion side. So I did all the street team stuff for the West Coast, which were girls. I took all my homegirls. Homegirls was always cute, little brown girls, whatever, you know. And I was like, yo, we should make the Good Girls. And I was like, we should make the Good Girls.
What was the name of your crew?
That was the name of the street team for Good Music.
Got it. Good Girls.
Yeah, we started the Good Girls, and that, you know, this continued because Ye went from college dropout, such a dope rapper, to like second album, a superstar.
Yeah.
And so that comes with so many, you know, opportunities. And of course, KB took me under his wing. Kenny Burns really early on in my career and in my life, and has been an incredible brother to me. His wife's been a great sister to me and a great mentor, and a person I can always call on, depend. So I started in good music, then it just naturally progressed to party promotion. Actually, my homeboy called me, the lockout was happening, and all the NBA players were out here in LA, and they were losing their mind because they didn't know what was about to happen, right? So, I mean, they were all out here. So my homeboy was like, why don't you come to the club tonight and bring all your girls, and I'll give you $500. I was like, cash? All right, whatever.
Good girls, assemble.
Yeah, we're going. That's exactly what's going on. We going. And so, you know, that night, though, I was like, you know, I'm a business person. I sat under yay in them. You know, I'm a marketer. Like, my brain starts work as soon as I step in somewhere. I'm like, how can we turn this into something else, you know? Mm-hmm. And so from there, that night, I really took on the whole club. Like, the owner was like, everybody know her, though, you know? And I did. I worked in music. I knew the A&Rs. I knew the managers, all of that. Because at that time in the clubs, it was only the D-boys or the athletes. Mm. And so for me, I was bringing the music people in. The DJs, the producers, all of that. And it just started from there, catapulted from there. And I always did good work. And that's why men respected me. I never dealt with those issues in business with men.
The good music experience, because we just want to gloss over that. Obviously, being around Ye, but I mean, obviously, relationships is key. And you've kept positive and great relationships. What was that experience like? What are the biggest things you took from being at Good Music?
The biggest things, you know, I was blessed and fortunate enough for those gentlemen to be family to me too, and to really be around them. So not just worked at a label, I was family and friends with them before we created this concept of the Good Girls, and before I did the workout plan, little ghetto skit and all of that. We were friends. That was me.
That was you.
Yeah, the bootleg queen. So what I learned was really familyhood. I saw those gentlemen really love each other, you know, and I saw Ye look out for a lot of people. Like, you know, everyone has their feelings about people, but I saw that, and I saw him look out for me as well. And I also learned that you can do whatever you want. Ye has always thought like this, been like this. He's never, I saw him pay for his own videos. Half of diamonds and, you know, so many other things. And so what I learned, A, in marketing, there's no dollar amount. There's no cap on that. Visibility marketing, there shouldn't even be a budget on that. It's very important to spend on that.
Explain that.
As a marketer, some people think 10% of this will put towards marketing. I don't really believe in a cap. I believe in you spend until it all makes sense. Figure out what your ROI is. It may not be money to come back. It may be simply visibility. So if you want to put up 5 billboards, put up 10. Really believe in it and just go and just see what happens, you know? And that's what I saw those guys do, you know? Look at Don Siege. Look, just Don and everything he's created, you know? It's like I saw those guys really believe in themselves and just kind of go for it. And that was always inspiring to me. And I modeled my business after that same, like, thought process.
That's a lot. So who's the team? So is Don C, is
at that time?
Yeah.
So it was Dom, it was Ye, I mean Hip Hop, G Roberson.
Oh, it's the All Star cast.
Yeah. Manop, of course. KB, of course, was, you know, they were always friends and had, I don't know, all business dealings, men to men. I mean, you got GLC, really dope. Like, it was a lot.
The early days. Got
Quince, you know, it was a lot. And so, you know, Farnsworth Bentley. Gotta give Bentley his flowers. Yeah. Like, that man is a real legend, to the legends.
So working, all right, so you start in the clubs. You start developing, you start throwing parties yourself. Then you get into the Good Music vibe, and then you start working on the street team for Good Music.
That was before the party promotion.
Oh, that was before the party promotion. Okay. So at what point does the party promotion really start to take off for you?
Almost instantaneously, because I was positioned in a good place because of who I was already. I was already Miss Diddy. I was already Diddy. So I didn't build inside of a specific career. I was already who I was. And so really instant, because for me, I didn't drink. I wasn't a party girl. I never, even though I threw parties, no one would ever classify me as a party girl, because I was looking at how do we make this the biggest movie, you know? And there's a lot of, like at that time, there was no cameras in clubs.
Right.
That didn't happen. You don't take pictures in the clubs. Stuff going on in here. Mm. I put the camera in the club. I said, I want this to look like a music video. We put Kenneth Wynn in the club. Kenneth Wynn is James Harden shooter. We came up together. It's my people. We from LA. And I said, I want this all to look, I want this to be a promo video, but it has to look like a rap video. So that whole concept wasn't happening until they started seeing it happen out here. So then you go into Supper Club Tuesdays, which was a huge, huge change, the whole trajectory of nightlife out here. Everyone knows about Supper Club Tuesdays. The song going up on a Tuesday that came from Supper Club Tuesdays. Then, you know, this is a time for us in the culture, being from LA, it was so important because we're a gang culture. We're gangs. We're affiliated. It's what it is. You know, we're from different sides. We're from different parts. And that was a club that no matter where you were from, it was even territory. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had no business being in the same place together. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of politics that we had to move around.
Yeah.
You know, but everyone came, you know, Drake, Rihanna, J. Cole, Chris Brown come club, every week. Supper Club.
Supper Club.
And I went over to do... Well, I had my great team, Supreme Team, Adib, Gary, I mean, all those guys, Shane Mooney, which is Paul Mooney's son, Jimmy Magetti, Sincere, King's show. Mm-hmm. Gotta give Sincere his props. Then we went on to do Toxic Day Party with LA's Finest, which just changed the whole day party concept. No one was doing day parties. Vegas.
Yeah.
We can date back to date years.
I remember when day parties became a thing in New York, and I'm like,
toxic.
It was very
weird. Was it La Marina?
That was short lived.
La Marina.
Short lived with a vibe.
Rest in peace to La Marina. But
yeah, it's been over.
That was legend. That was legend. But when the day party vibe first came in New York, it was very confusing to me. Because people was going like, I'm going to party. I'm like, it's 4 o'clock.
It's 4 o'clock in the daytime.
What do you mean? Like, it's still light outside. Like, and they're like, nah, that's a new vibe. Day parties. And I'm like, a day party? Like, I never understood a day party.
We started.
So you started the day party?
Absolutely. Toxic Day Party. Out here.
Yeah, we did that. We did it in Vegas. It was just like,
well, Vegas. Well, that's a pool party. But that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It was a pool party. I'm saying day party. I had nothing to do
inside.
With the pool. Inside a club. Day party. Outside. Like, you know, even starting with brand partnerships in nightlife, nobody was doing that. The party promoters didn't even do that in other markets. That wasn't on your radar. When you're a party promoter, you have multiple parties a week. People have no clue the type, how your brand, you're just doing this.
Yeah.
But for myself, my guys who we would sit down and strategize. All right, well, clearly we need water in here. Let's talk to Aqua Hydrate. Let's talk to so-and-so. You know, okay, Meek's album is coming out. Puma, you want to be here? Because this is an AA demographic. Mm-hmm. And you know that everybody is coming here. Every soccer player, basketball player, football player, artist, actress, the whole thing. I need that bread off of you. We'll show you where your branding can live in here. We'll have Meek Mill here. You know what I'm saying?
So let's talk about
that's a lot.
Yep. I feel like brand partnerships is something that, you know, everybody understands it makes sense for a brand to sponsor a certain situation.
Sure.
But it's not easy to actually get the brand partnerships. So what was your formula to actually, like, what worked for you to reach out to brands, and how did that process work to actually get the relationships with the brands?
Great point. Relationships. I date everything back to relationships. I'm old school. You know, I believe in showing the work, you build it, they'll come, and relationships. And so I was been really fortunate in my career that it comes to me. And what my brain does at the time it comes to me is formulate how it can look specifically for that brand or for that person at that specific time. So even thinking about the idea of water in a club, you have to have water in a club. Let's go fish. Aqua Hydrate, of course, it's a relationship that we have, you know? And so it came from building business outside of that. So they were all calling me, the labels, the heads, the A&Rs, they're all my friends. You know, I remember Joey IE calling me, and he was at Interscope at that time. This one time we took Meek over Joey IE at Interscope parties, BET Awards weekend. So of course, Diddy, what you doing? What you doing? Where we at? What's it? All right, well, what you got going on? Oh, you need this artist to be in front of all of this, and you want it to be a branded party for, say, Interscope or at Atlantic Records? Okay, let's see what this can look like, right? We have the LED screens. We'll make sure that's up there. Of course, the DJ needs to shout it out. But what are your touch points that are special to you? What do you want to get across to your consumer? Let's tailor make that into this event. Because a lot of people with partnerships, they just say, okay, Coca-Cola, you want to give me the money? Or Pepsi, you want to give me the money? Then we'll just take the money. Well, no. What's important is keeping this relationship with this person. What makes them happy? And what I always excelled at is interpersonal customer service. So Atlantic Records, I do the Atlantic Records party. Well, naturally, Atlantic Records needs a whole table for themselves, for their execs, beyond the artists. Let's make sure these execs and the A&Rs are happy as well, and the producers are happy. And that's, people don't think about the person behind.
Yeah, what I'm hearing, the overall theme, obviously, the mind is different, but that attention to detail, knowing that, look, if we need to have water, let's call Dick, let's have Aqua Hydrate. Mm-hmm. But in that same sense, it's like, well, if it's we're gonna have a party, let's get Ciroc in there too. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing a deal with Puma, let's have their branding around.
Absolutely.
Where did that attention to detail originate from? Is that, because I know one of the things you pride yourself on was like when you were working as a 9-to-5 employee, you were the best worker.
Yeah.
So is that where it came from?
I think that it's piece of it is innate ability. Innate is in me. And a lot of it is being the person behind people as well. And understanding how important my position has been in certain moments with, say, artists or actors, actresses, whatever, and making sure that person is taken care of. And it's also, I don't demand anything of anyone else that I don't demand of myself, right, Jay? So when I was a little girl, I always made my bed. My parents didn't have to tell me to make my bed. They didn't tell me, they didn't have to tell me to clean the bathroom. They didn't have to tell me to keep my closet clean, because it was just something I had in me. It's what I wanted for myself. I wanted things to be excellent. I wanted things to be together. Mm-hmm. And I think I always also took life serious. And sometimes when you're in these worlds, you're around these things, it's fun, it's cool, we kicking it. But for me, everything was serious because I was working for legacy in my mind. How do I be the biggest this? How do I present this way in front of my generation? And so every move was serious with me.
So, I mean, you grew up with some people, like obviously some people that, you know, the world may recognize.
Yes.
And they were successful at a very young age.
Sure.
Was that like an inspiration to you? Like, all right, I see Omarion, I grew up with him.
Yeah.
He's made it in his life.
Sure.
That's pushing you to even go harder?
Well, I knew it could be done. I knew that it was attainable. I think when you're from the hood, unless you get out and you see things outside of that, mm-hmm. you don't think that it's for you. You're boxed in to kind of think that, oh, that's what happens on TV. That's what happens for them. And you don't know that it's for you. I mean, Ye has been living in LA since I've known him. He always had the mansion in Hollywood since I went up. I was 20 maybe when I went up there. So this is attainable. I didn't walk in somewhere and was like, oh, that's beautiful for you. I always walk in somewhere and was like, yep, need this. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. A lot of my brain was bravery and blind bravery, because I was just like, let's go for it.
So let's talk about the transition into actually developing the brand group, LA.
Sure.
How did that come about?
Interesting enough, I had parties, so I had clubs, right? But then one day, a gentleman named Adair Curtis, who used to work for Russell Simmons, called me and said, Diddy, we're doing this comedy show. Russell's here every week, but no one's coming. This is the last week and we're going to shut it down. Come and see. Let me know if you want to take it on. And if you feel you can, it's yours. Whatever you want to do with it. So he goes at the Chinese Man Theater. Mia and I, we go, my team, and I'm looking around like, this is so unorthodox. It's not kind of positioned the way, say, a party or an event would be, because it was a theater. Tony Rock was hosting. He's an incredible host, comedian. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, talk to my team, like, let's try it. Let's do it. We got Russell Simmons. There's a couple elements here, right? We got Russell Simmons. We got Tony Rock. Have them, period. That's locked in. We have All Def Digital, as the, this is how All Def Digital's really built up behind this show. I'm like, all right, forget it, let's do it. 1 week later, when we walked in, there was like four people. 1 week later, it was sold out. Every week after that, for the next, every Wednesday after that, for the next 3 or 4 years, All Def Comedy Live was sold out. And every single person you could ever think of, every celebrity you could think of, has stopped through there, touched there, went there every single week. Dave Chappelle, when he came off his hiatus, that's where he went to play. Issa Rae, before, you know, Insecure. Tiffany Haddish, before the film. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. They all went there. Russ was there every week. And so I said, I'm going to start a company. I'm going to always be the girl that the promoter, right, with my guys. And I always knew this is a man's sport and a young man's sport. I can't be the old girl in the club. You know what I mean? The guys can. It doesn't work for women. Yeah. It looks different, right?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen it, to be honest.
What? Yeah, you people. I mean, you know.
Like female promoters.
There's some. Yeah. There's some that are doing things. There's some that came after me. But to do what I did, that... And so All Def Comedy Live was really the catapult for me to say, yo, I have a team. There's women that are next to me that look up to me and they're expecting me to succeed at this. I have to really fully become an entrepreneur and a CEO, and I have to put it on paper, and I have to create a brand and an empire that they can also be proud of. And so that was really the...
So like, what was the first steps once you realized it? That you wanted to do it.
How do I turn this into an LLC?
That's a good point.
How do I turn this into an LLC? What are the first steps, you know? But you have LegalZoom. LegalZoom is good. You know, and I went to a family friend of mine who's a huge business banker. I said, I want to start a company. I don't know what I'm doing business-wise, but I know how to do business, but I need to make it formal. I need to do what I need to do, get my paperwork together. And he did. He started my company for me, the brand group. I was so surprised it was even available, because I was like, I want it to look like a law firm. I don't want anyone else, like a little black girl doing this business. No, I want it to look chic and simple and clean and classic. I want it to sound like you don't even know what it is. And the brand group was available. That was the Lord, because I was like, I want the brand group. And he was like, there's no way that's available. That's too good. It's not going to be available. And it was.
So you had the brand group. Now, the people who were part of the promotion team, yeah, are they now transitioning with you?
No.
Now the brand group, or is just,
no,
it's
no,
just
no, no.
You and with something, yeah, fresh?
Because I promoted with my boys, with guys, and my team at the brand group became women. There's men that work on my team and, you know, in the production side of events, but it became, you know, young black and Spanish women. That was important for me, for that representation to be seen at the forefront. That was important to me. So that's why I have women. And women work hard.
So with the focus, true, for the brand group, was it still in the events, or was it management? What was your original?
So it kind of took on a life of its own. It definitely was events. But then everyone wanted me to do PR, wanted me to do, you know, covering the media part, because I knew all the media. You know, like at that time, the Shade Room was starting. Angie was really starting, and they were just more in the comment section or the Shade Room. I said, Angie, look, I said, the owner, I said, I'm going to give you exclusive celebrity content from my shows, from my All Def Comedy Live comedy shows. This is how you're going to build up the Shade Room. This is how you're going to build up the credibility, mm-hmm, right? Here's the picture, the Jasmine brand, like all of these, you know, young black women that were building up there that are huge. Look at the Shade Room. It's the black CNN. It's the culture CNN. You're going there first.
Oh, you could be going to Earn Your Leisure.
Going to Earn Your Leisure too. Going there too.
Or maybe first.
We got to do a partnership. Look at my brain.
I mean, we did come to LA.
Well, listen, I'll set it up. You see what I'm saying?
Shout out to the Shade Room.
Yeah.
They have a huge platform.
That's a genius idea, right? So now, you know these. Do you know them, or are you getting in contact and finding out them? And are you charging them for this exclusive deal? Because
no, we're just not doing at that time. We're building.
Everybody's building together.
Everybody at this time is building. The Shade Room wasn't the Shade Room at that time. They were just the Shade Room.
But you're already Diddy.
I'm already Diddy, but that was in me growing up in business because I came from a relationship based way of doing business. I had to learn how to do business across the board. That was tough for me.
Yeah. I mean, that's key. I mean, sometimes like relationships can take you farther than money.
100 Well, it does because they're answering my calls.
Yeah.
That money may not answer your call just because you have that money.
Right.
You know?
So, okay. So then you get that rolling. And at what point do you realize that transition from events, parties to actually, you know, growing the brand and working on a more strategic with brand partnerships, and then you do management as well, right?
No, it's babysitting. I don't want to do it.
Okay.
Because they've always wanted me to.
What was the next step evolution for you once you started the company to actually get the company like to be where it is now?
Everyone has an opinion when it comes to the foods we eat. This food's good for you. This one's bad for you. This diet works best. But who actually has the right answer? You don't need rules to lose weight. You just need proper information to build smarter, more sustainable habits. Noom is here to change the way we view food by not only looking at what we eat, but also how we eat. Instead of making you feel guilt, Noom empowers you to keep going. Not everyone wants to be on a strict diet, do 5 days a week at the gym, or have daily smoothies and questionable teas. Noom uses a psychology-based approach to find healthier balance that's more suitable for your life and, as a result, more sustainable. Look, Noom has already influenced the way I shop for food, which has not only saved me money, it's also given me a clearer understanding of the foods I'm consuming, which has made me sharper and more energetic. You have to try it out. Look, there are no food restrictions in the program, which makes the process more flexible for your lifestyle. Everybody's journey is different. Noom believes in progress, not perfection. 75% of Noom users finish the program, and more than 60% of users engaged with the program keep the weight off for a year or even more. With Noom, all you need is a daily 10-minute check-in. No grueling early mornings or huge chunks out of your day. Are you ready to start building better habits for healthier, long-term results? Sign up for a Noom trial at Noom.com/leisure. That's Noom.com/leisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now.
You mean on the partnership side?
Just in general, yeah.
I think partnerships have been a large part of the success of my company.
Who's like your favorite partner that you're working with?
Oh, that's hard to say.
Or some of.
No,
you know what? I love the Players Association, MBPA. MBPA. So the Players Association. Shout out to everyone over there, LaToya Sterling. I love them.
What do you do with them?
So All-Star, let's give specifics. All-Star came to Los Angeles, right? Big deal. During that time, rest in peace, the King Hustle album was dropping. So they called me, Atlantic, neighbor, Diddy. The album release party, you got to do it. It got to be crazy. I'm like, all right, bet. Well, during that time, he did a whole victory lap because he was out, he was releasing during that time. It's perfect time. It's All-Star in L.A. Like the king of L.A. Why we not have him? You know,
I remember he was on the stage and performed it. Yeah, it was on time. I watched it.
And so, right. Yeah. And so then Kevin Hart during that time was doing a partnership with Mountain Dew. So they call me Wayne Brown. Shout out to Wayne Brown. Love him so much. Kev's like one of Kev's best friend and incredible friend of mine. It's like, Diddy, we have about 3 initiatives we need to do for this partnership. You want them? Yes. You figure it out. Cool. And Players Association had already did my partnership with them for me to build in whatever programming I wanted to build in during that time for All-Star with them. But yeah, I did the partnership with the Players Association. Shout out to LaToya Sterling over there and Brian. And we, during that time, they had the whole London hotel. So they controlled it for the week. They took it over. The craziest thing. Branded the hotel for Players Association, Think 450, which was their other company at that time. It was insane.
Yeah, most people know the London now because Travis Scott and Young Thug.
And that came out after that, 100%, which is one of my favorite records. It's such a vibe.
Great record.
What? Travis I hate Scott. That people knew the London after that. Travis Scott.
From Houston.
From the H. This is, we're not laughing at you. We're just, previous
great
conversation.
Great song.
So, yeah, so they were like, Diddy, you can program it how you want, right? Cool. Well, I got Kevin Hart. Let's do the dinner here. I'm a half fab host. Shout out to my the family, Fabulous. Fab.
Shout out to Fab.
Shout out to Fendi. Fendi is, that is Fab and my main source of laughter. It's laughing at him. But yeah, and so Fab hosted and it was amazing. And what I did is I had Nipsey Hussle's album release party that same night on the rooftop.
At the London,
because I wanted Kevin to go there, because I knew what was important for Victory Lap from a cultural standpoint with certain aspects was making sure the world understood who King Hustle was, Nipsey Hussle was, outside of someone saying, "Oh, you're gang affiliated" or something like that, because he was everything to us. Mm-hmm. He's everything to us. It was so important for me to make sure that the narrative from my side that I was able to control was this man is this type of man. You know, he created the blueprint for all of us that are community based leaders and work in this field to be who we are. He showed us, mm-hmm. this is what you do, this is how you do it, you know, and he meant everything, still does, to us based on that. So that was really important for me to get that right, more than anything I've ever done, like in my career. Any events, partnerships, that was the most important one. And yeah, that's why. Two so events, I put it all there.
Two events, one night.
So let me ask you this. So how do you negotiate like a budget? How do you know what a fair budget is?
Ain't nothing fair. I need all of it. Fair, that's relative.
No, well.
I want all of it. And so, you know, because you have to realize what someone is paying for. Like, they get Earn Your Leisure, the podcast, but they also get two entities with this podcast. Somebody got to pay for all that. So, yeah, the brand group you're contracting to do this event, but it's because of Miss Diddy. So you have to pay for Miss Diddy's likeness in this as well. There's always a line item for that. Mm. Always. And so I oftentimes evaluate how important it is for my company to partner with this person. How important is that? And there's a lot of things that I weigh the budget in on that, you know? What is my company getting out of this partnership, even beyond visibility? Is it longevity? Is it first right of refusals of future events and future things and future partnerships? Are you guys connecting us to the other department that does X, Y, and Z as well? So everything is catered to specifically to each type of partnership. I don't have an overall budget of what it looks like.
Yeah. I read that you said that when you do a partnership, there's got to be like an emotional connection to it.
For sure.
I haven't heard that before. Most people say like, if that makes sense for our, it will do it. But yours is a little bit more in depth. I think it went into detail about the Adidas, like I work out.
Yeah.
This is what I'm wearing.
Yeah.
When I want to work, these are the shoes I'm wearing.
Yes.
There's a connection. So like when they approach you, this makes sense for me emotionally. All brands across the line?
All brands across the line, because also I'm very aware of what I represent to my community. So it has to be what is authentic to me, because people know the real and people know what's not, you know? And so, yeah, Adidas, I work out, it makes sense. Like, that's something that's important to me, you know? Or even when I partner with spirit companies or deal with them, that's also important to me, because I worked for the Hennessy brand, and when they sent me to France to study about it, I fell in love with the culture. I fell in love with the spirits game. It wasn't about drinking. It was about what this represents, how you cheers in business dealings, how you know, the knowledge behind it, what was built. That's a lot of the marketing. So even when it comes to partnering with alcohol brands, that's always important to me too. They all come to me. I don't say yes to everyone. Mm.
So as far as, okay, so you a brand reaches out to you,
yes,
let's say whatever, Grey Goose, whatever. They say, okay, we want to do an event for All Star Weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So now you say, okay, just use throwing a number out there.
Yeah.
Okay, the budget is going to be $50,000 for the event.
Okay, go ahead.
No. This is the budget is $500,000.
Yeah, we need to go quarter.
Come on now.
I'm just throwing
out
a random number.
Go 50.
So we're going to say, we'll say Ciroc.
Or we'll say 50.
Shout out to Diddy.
Yeah, shout out mind. To King Puff. Yeah.
all right. So let's say 100, so, 100,000.
100,000. We'll do a round number.
$100,000, right? Mm-hmm. So now it's like, okay, they're giving your company $100,000. Mm-hmm. Now you have to find a venue. Mm-hmm. You have to book the talent to mm-hmm. come. You have to, like, what do you do?
Now, it depends on what's needed. So they may need a venue, right? And that also, the advantage of having a Miss Diddy do it is because I have great relationships with venues. I've done events and built clubs and built the awareness and visibility around restaurants, venues, hotels, all this type of thing. So if I say, hey, I'm coming to do this there, they're like, come on, Diddy, what do you need? How do we make this work, mm-hmm. right? And so they may need a venue. They may need a talent, but maybe not. But you're also coming to me because I have incredible relationships with the youth of the world. So if I'm, as soon as you sat down, I invited you somewhere. Yep. You know, now that's an event that's in important to me on other levels. But if I'm like, I want y'all to come to this event, 9 times out of 10, you're going to come. Because of our relationship. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's something that has to be accounted for. Mm. Because even though what I learned, say with All Deaf Comedy Live, the comedy show we did, just because there's a name attached, but which I've always known, doesn't mean that people are just coming here in this market. This market is very specific and it's very different.
LA.
Yes, Los Angeles. LA, and Hollywood.
LA is tougher.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's so much more tougher because there's... These people rather be at home drinking wine in their mansions looking over the city with their friends. I might invite you guys all to my house to have wine and dinner.
Yeah.
And we're going to miss that whole event that's going on. So it has to be more than just this person's here. This brand is here. It has to be lifestyle marketing that's inclusive and the person that's doing it. No one misses a Miss Diddy event if they're invited. If they're able to come, they just don't. You know what the room the vibe is.
It's like kind of like an Earn Your Leisure event.
Very similar. Can we talk about
this? Sounds like a collaboration.
The 4,000 people that y'all have.
Oh, InvestFest.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's
InvestFest.
We got you on the list for this year.
Oh, yeah, this year.
Please.
This year.
Yeah, yeah.
We talked about it.
We did, but I just want to say it was so inspiring to watch that.
I appreciate
so that. Great segue. Here's a great segue. So now you've mastered the LA market.
Mastered.
We're going across the country though, and we're going global. So, like, who's studying the analytics and the demographics of the other cities? New York, LA, Miami. I know you did some stuff in all those cities.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I'm not a analytics girl. I'm a cultural girl.
Mm.
You can't tell me about something I eat, breathe, sleep, do, speak, live every single day of my life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I rely on my instinct. I rely on my gut and I rely on what's in front of me, what I know to be true. So if you go to Atlanta, you gotta be with Ruggs. Ruggs is the Ruggs. What are you talking about? That's like if you're coming to Los Angeles, they're gonna say, get up with Miss Diddy. If you go to Miami, you're gonna go with Mike Headliner. We're not even playing this game. Mike Headliner is who he is. The greatest party in the world is Live on Sundays. I don't care what anybody says, and nobody can tell me something different. I'm who I am. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You can't. Cultural impact, we were talking about that. Live on Sundays.
Yeah.
Mike Gardner, Headliner Group, is who has done Live on Sundays.
Who's that guy in New York? Who's New York?
New York's dead right now.
But that's an interesting concept because I wonder who is the person in New York right now.
There's nobody.
You don't. I don't know, because
I actually had this conversation recently.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure who it is, and it could be a mishap that I just don't know.
Johnny Marines, he's doing his thing out in Jersey. You know,
Johnny Marines. No, we love to meet him.
I forgot the spot in Jersey.
It's in Jersey though.
Yeah, it's big. It's like a huge indoor outdoor type.
Really.
Yeah.
Shout out to that brother doing his thing.
He's doing his thing.
I want to say Gico, but it's not that.
There's a few other people that's doing their thing on a.
Shout out to Kino and D. I don't.
What city's that?
New York. Oh, okay, yeah, we got to get with Kino and D.
Shout out to Kino.
It's a few people doing their thing on the gentleman club scene too, but I don't really know them like that. But yeah,
AG out in
there. Oh, I was just about to say AG. I was just going to say.
But yeah, New York is not really.
We need one.
But let's say, hold on. Right, what AG did.
Different.
It's never. It's never happened before in our culture and in our generation. Yeah. The way AG not only controls but owns what he owns, he is one of the kindest men I've ever met in this culture. To me, mm-hmm. He has been nothing but kind to me, respectful, and you know, uplifting to even my career and everything that I do. So AG 100% as well in Atlanta. Like,
it's like checking in, like knowing the
right people. I don't play about checking in because I'm from LA. That's very important. Like, we were raised on the idea that is what you must do. So I do that with all my guys.
Yeah.
That's why they, you know, respect me the way they do. I give them that.
Yeah. I feel, you know what? I'm thinking now, like, it's like when you go to an event, a Miss Diddy event, I can imagine how respectful the dudes are, no matter where they're coming from.
They are very respectful.
It's a young lady
who's
doing
that.
It.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And I'm thinking you were Diddy, and so because the gentlemen were coming, the first thing we say is like, excuse me, miss. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, miss. Mm-hmm. When we come into a spot, no matter if we're coming to a party.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
And so that's how we got Miss Diddy out of this?
No. I wanted to figure out how, I was always Diddy.
Uh-huh.
And then when I got on social media, Twitter, actually, in the beginning times of Twitter, when I got on there, I was like, oh, it needs to be feminine. You know, I mean, I've always had I'm a very graceful lady. I have a great je ne sais quoi about me, but I also have a very assertive energy as well.
Yeah.
And so I'm mindful of that. So I try to make sure that's balanced out to the best of my ability.
Makes sense.
So you have a business, but you also have a personal brand too.
Sure.
You're an influencer. I think over 200,000 followers on Instagram.
I don't think I'm up there yet.
Oh, close.
Okay.
After this, don't worry about it. It's done. It's fine. You know you're saying it, right?
I see that.
I do.
The biggest ever.
Yeah.
But I say that.
So I was earlier here before you guys, 30 minutes before. Go ahead.
Which is true. Shout out to Mike.
How is it? What's the importance of separating and balancing a personal brand from a business brand?
It's so important, but it's also important to know who feeds the whole brand. The Miss Diddy empire has to be separate from the brand group empire, because what I do know and why people trust me and continuously hire my company is that I'm never bigger than a client, even if I'm bigger than a client. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If I walk in a place naturally, because of what I've done in this town, Miss City, whoever, it's just a natural thing because of what I've done. But if this client is with me, that's a back seat. That has nothing to do with what we're here to do here with this specific client. The client could be a water bottle. That is the most important key element here in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I never forget, that I never lose sight of, the hats that I play at this specific time. Those are very important to me. And so, but the Miss Diddy is the reason why the brand group is successful. And one thing that my incredible team of women never forget is that, and I respect them so much for that, because they hold that so near and dear and high in regard on even how they move and how they do business for the company, you know?
I think one of the things that needs to be highlighted is the women who have helped and guided you to this point.
100%.
We spoke about KB and obviously all the other males that have helped you, but who are some of the women that have guided you? Because, I mean, a lot of times we don't see it, women working together. It's always like, oh, it's Caddy, or, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Underlying tone.
But you know what? Honestly, my team is really, really my internal team. So Mia, Patience, Ty, Diana, Dee Marie started my company with me as well. And, you know, there's tons of women in my company. That's who inspire me, my team.
Mm-hmm.
My team inspire me. There are women in this culture that are great inspirations to me, and that at the drop of a dime, whatever I need would be there. So like Mona Scott Young is someone that I definitely give that to, you know, because she's always like, you are like little me. You're a beast in business. You know what I mean? And she is. She's a freaking genius, though, you know, aside from what people think they know about her from the Love and Hip Hop brand. She's, you know, been one of the driving forces in the whole culture from the inception of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, women were, I'm trying to think who else. definitely Ingrid Best, who used to handle the business on the Ciroc and De Leon side. There's a couple other ones. I'm gonna think about that. But my team really is who inspire me and lift me up. They know me. They know the real me. They know both sides. They know the business side of me. They know when I'm, cracking the whip, because we don't have the luxury to mess up in front of people. We are young black kids doing business.
Is there any point, I know you're selective about the brands, mm-hmm. but is there a point or who you select to be your clients? Because, I mean, this is your brand,
yeah,
and you don't want to take anybody. What's that process like for you?
It's just tough, because it's tough to figure out how to say no when you need to say no to things. It really is. And I just pray and hope that it comes about in the right manner that it's supposed to come about it when it comes about. So I just do what I feel good about, mm-hmm. because my career is based on purpose. Like I'm a woman of God. I didn't just try to be popular and post something on Instagram. I did mm-hmm. a lot of hard work for where I am. And so I don't want to taint that, because unfortunately, black women, we really only have like one chance to mess that up. And it's not fair. It's hard to come back from something.
How many events do you do a year?
Probably about 50 something, 60.
And most of them are in LA?
Mm-mm. Around.
All over?
All major markets, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So are you physically at all of those events? Or?
Yeah.
But so you true a lot of traveling?
Mm.
Tough to catch. Yeah.
The pandemic was good for me in the sense of like, I said, okay, I get to rest.
So are all of those events like co-branded, sponsored with, or some of those
depends,
just you by yourself?
Some of them are just my company. Like our main focus, our major one yearly is called Toast to Young Hollywood, which I've changed the name to Toast to Black Hollywood.
Tulsa?
Toast.
Like cheers.
Okay. Cheers. And so, we've done that for years before everyone started honoring people. That was something that, I did because I understood, again, what it was like to be the person that was making everything move, and not always maybe getting the recognition, which you just don't. It's just a part of the game, right? So I wanted to give my ode to people that helped me through my career and also were that person. So even my first Toast to Young Hollywood, honored, of course, Kenny Burns, Steve Rifkin, Baron Davis, Megan Good, Cortez Bryant, which not until then, no one honored Tez. He's one of my very dear and close friends from the beginning of my career as well. And he was like, Diddy, no one's ever thought of me like that. He's such a great guy. And now everyone, of course, calls him Tez. And not saying I did that solely, but so that was the beginning of that, and bridging the culture with, I'm fortunate in my career to know the OGs and the young ones. And there's not a lot of people that are in that position. So it was important for me to, Dallas Martin as well, that first associate in Hollywood, to have like a Dallas Martin and a Steve Rifkin, right? Dallas Martin and Kenny Burns, or Baron Davis and Brandon Jennings,
Shout that was important.
Legends.
Absolutely, that's my brother.
D-Diddy, that's the bro.
D-Diddy run the city.
So that's the godfather of the city.
Yeah, that's my guy. So you mentioned COVID. So how did you survive during COVID, during all these events, and then at one point it shut down?
So happy.
How was that? How was that?
No, don't say that.
I was happy to rest.
Okay.
Because I didn't know how hard I was working. I didn't understand the craze that it was actually, to me, a bit detrimental, because I was working. Like, I'm a worker bee. I'm going to work. I'm going to take out the trash. I'm going to mop the floors. Like, I'm working. And, I needed to rest. But I survived because I also pivot. I mean, everyone, marketing is king. It'll always be king. So now you need marketing on social media. And I think the pandemic did great to show and to bring back real respect to what social media really, to me, should be.
What should it be?
I think there was a time where it became like almost a joke, like wasn't respected enough. Like, you're kind of like, we're the real life people and y'all are social media people. And then the pandemic hit and everybody wanted to go live and try to, you know.
Joke's on you.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. People that you never would be seeing go live with people where it was happening every day. I mean, look what happened with D-Nice's career. What are we even... are we discussing right now? Like that happened Joey before Crack. All shout of our Joe. Very own eyes. Exactly, shout Fat Joe.
Chopra.
I mean, incredible. And even, you know, those moments, that's what social media ended up showing during that time. And I think it also humanized all of us. Mm-hmm. And it kind of leveled the playing field for a lot of people. Like, nah, we're all here. Yeah. On this social media platform.
But like, were you doing virtual events or like
definitely did virtual. I did a great virtual event, a couple of them. I wanted, you know, people I respect in business to be able to speak out to people. So did one. Kenny Smith came and spoke, and Kevin Frazier, and Prima Donna actually came and spoke, and a couple of my girls that are Jay Dunn, who has waist trainers, like all the girls that to me were like, y'all are really doing your thing, and I want people to hear, you know, what's going on with you guys right now. Mm-hmm. And also how you got to where you are. Also during that time, racial conversations were really important. So I have a really great friend of mine. Her name is Caitlin Crosby. She owns what's called the Giving Key. So you see these keys on chains, you've seen them before, just like in different places.
The keys.
What? Talk to me about the keys. But she's a white girl. She's like a sister of mine, and I wanted to talk to her in front of my black friends and say, oh, what are the conversations you're having with your black employees? What are the conversations that you're having with your family? Like, what's going on? Because you're a sister of mine, but I need to make sure you're an ally here. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It caused a lot of people to come to the front, and I think social media was a great place to be able to do that.
It became like if silence became complicit.
Oh,
so
what?
If you didn't say anything.
I called out a lot of my wife for, hey, I don't see anything. I don't see my lawyers, everything. I need to see something.
Yeah. So you had obviously entertainers, athletes, influencers, mm-hmm. but you also had politicians.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, what is that approach like?
Man, you know what? I approach everything in marketing as a concept of a new artist or a new album dropping.
Similar.
That's the way you market everything. I don't care what it is, you know?
Yeah.
And so I mean by that, like, so we had an incredible mayor. She stepped down recently to do her fit. She had another baby. She's in her family mode. Her name is Asia Brown, one of the youngest black sitting mayors of a major city, period. And she's extremely progressive, really moved the needle, and really...
This is Compton?
Compton, mayor of Compton, Asia Brown. And she's stepped down now, let me be clear. And, but she gave Kendrick Lamar the key to the city, you know. She was instrumental in bringing all of us... giving all of us a way to give to the community. Because sometimes a lot of people, you don't know where to start. You don't know what to do. And so that's why she was really progressive to me. So when she, both her terms, I was like, all right, what are we doing? Yeah. Let's do it. How are we marketing this? How are we pushing this? How are we making sure people understand who you are and what you're doing and what we're doing in the community? And so, you know, like we always part, Master P and Romeo are incredible to the city of Compton. They have a partner
Compton
with us.
Magic, is that their team?
Who's got the Magic?
No, I know.
You don't know Compton Magic?
I don't.
The AAU team?
I don't know everything.
DeMar DeRozan used to play for them.
Oh, the AAU team. Yeah. I didn't know that, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah, P had a lot of players.
Yeah.
But him and Chico, our big homie Chico, shout out to Chico and Compton. Like, we've always partnered on holidays. So Thanksgiving and Christmas and bringing the toys. And so, you know, that was my concept, just visibility. Visibility. How are we making, you know, and making sure the narrative about this beautiful city is beautiful, well, not me, just let, everything let, people.
So what's next? What's next for Miss Diddy and for the brand group?
You know, I'ma just I don't know, man. I just believe in hard work, and I follow God's dream, and wherever he tells me to go, I'm very, like I said, I trust my gut. I really live my life based on that. So I also am not a fan of, this is gonna sound crazy, like ultimate goals, because I don't want to sell in. That's just me. I don't want to sell in, because that I might hit that goal, and now I've done everything in my life to hit this goal. Everything took me 10 years to hit this goal. And I get there and I'm like, oh shoot, what am I supposed to do next? What is supposed to happen?
Yeah.
You know? And so, I'm just working and continuously wanting to inspire my generation and my family and be something that, you know, the people that I respect and love are proud of.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Shout out to LA,
the ambassador of LA.
It's always good to come to LA, man. It's always vibes. Shout out to South Central, shout out to Compton, shout out to Watts.
It's so many Long cities Beach. You would have to name.
I'm trying to think of that song. City of Compton. That's what they was naming, like
Englewood. Gardena. I don't even know about Gardena. Carson.
Carson.
We went Carson.
That was our first event.
We talked about that. You guys went to Carson.
Englewood too.
You been to Englewood?
Been to Englewood.
Our first event was in Carson.
I went to elementary and junior high in Englewood.
Shout out to the IE.
The IE, which is a very large place.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Our family out there. My cousin Micah Walker. Shout out to Micah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's all love, man. And shout out to Hollywood.
Shout out to Hollywood. Shout out to the Valley.
Venice
Beach.
Santa Monica.
Venice Beach. You see, it keeps going. Malibu, Palos Verdes.
Shout out to Malibu.
I know y'all have been over there.
My son. I took him. We was in LA for a month.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the pandemic, we came to LA for a month, and we was just vibing.
Yeah.
So why you look like that?
Because you came to LA for a month.
Yeah. Everybody, the whole team.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
We brought 10 people.
Michael was with us too.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Michael. Yeah.
So we went to Nobu, and I had my son with me, and so he had the rock shrimp. So long story short, this man is fancy. Months later, somebody asked me, like, what's your favorite food? Like, most kids would say, like, pizza.
Of course.
He's like, rock shrimp from Nobu in Malibu.
How old is he?
He's 11 now.
He's
acquired taste.
He's amazing.
He lives a life.
And he's able to tell. That's the truth. Yeah. Like, he really did that.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
These kids.
No cap.
No, because that's his favorite food.
No ceilings. Another Lil Wayne reference.
Shout out to Weezy.
Shout out to King Weezy. I love Wayne. I was about to give you a Carter number. Go ahead.
So how can the people follow you on social media and all of that?
Find me at Earn Your Leisure.
That's a
number first and foremost.
You know, first and foremost with these two Pisces men. I am a Leo, but no, Miss Diddy, MissDiddy. Miss Diddy across the board. My company is The Brand Group. LA, actually, on Instagram. My name used to be Miss Diddy on LA. I took the LA off because Drake told me to.
Oh yeah,
she said you global. Why would you keep it LA?
Casual conversations with Drake.
Slight stunt.
Yo, can we get a name drop?
No, bro. You told me that.
You're on your game.
Greg Yuna made it happen. Shout out to Flawless New York. Shout out to Greg Yuna. He's my great friend. Yeah, he's the one that made it happen.
He made my chain.
See what he is. He's amazing.
Dope. Yeah.
I love him. He's been one of my closest friends for years.
Really? I didn't even know that.
Oh yeah.
Everybody's your closest friend.
You don't want me to line up what I've done for people. You really don't want me to line that up. That makes you close.
She's gonna leave this and say, you know, I know her. Yeah, Troy.
I do, but y'all know my parents are from New York. That's another conversation. We'll have it offline.
I'm
a New York girl. Okay.
All right, Mount Rushmore, LA. Who we got?
What, hip hop?
I want hip hop
for LA.
Yeah.
Oh, you see my mouth?
No, it's not easy.
I would love to hear yours, because that's not
no,
easy.
No, you got
to
give yours first.
Let me tell you why it's hard.
Yeah.
Because I have Snoop and I have Dre, but that takes off too.
Yeah, it does.
But what's tough for me, which you got, well, he may not be for y'all, but for me,
yeah,
I need to add Corrupt in there.
Shout out to Corrupt. He's from Philadelphia.
Okay. I know. You see why I preference that? Because I knew it was coming.
First Crenshaw.
Shout out to Corrupt. Shout out to Corrupt.
And then it's tough because our new age, we have like...
It's a couple spots there.
It's only one spot left in the new...
All right, here's what we'll do. I'll give you the first face
Okay, Dre, give me old Dre, and give me. Okay, thank you Dre, so much.
You gotta do top five because you can't. This.
Or give me two Rushmores. Give me generational. So give me New Age Rushmore.
No, and, top five because that's everybody always says top five.
Top five. Go.
Top five. LA. Okay.
Dead or Alive.
Okay.
Somebody getting left out.
Because it's okay. Like Snoop and Dre for okay. Me, like equally.
Okay.
Nipsey Hussle, of course. Okay. Even before. Corrupt.
Okay.
Last spot.
Four. See, I'm still messing up. Oh, because, but see, y'all would take him. Y'all would take Tupac if I said Tupac's not for me. Corrupt is.
Let me get number five.
I want to hear number five because one of your best friends is gonna be.
No, it is, and it's like I can't.
Remember where you're from?
It's either Kendrick, YG, or Roddy, and I can't even separate. Wow. I can't. What am I supposed to do?
Shout out to Rowdy Rich.
And YG is very important.
Shout out to YG. Can I get my top five?
Yes, please.
So who'd you take, Kendrick?
I'll give her time to think about it.
Oh, thank you.
I got a Tupac because he's Tupac. Not
sure.
It doesn't matter that he's not from L.A. He repped L.A.
Michael.
He repped L.A. harder than anybody.
100%.
So, Tupac off the rip. Nipsey Hussle, of course.
Of course.
That goes without saying. That was my favorite person that I actually listened to the lyrics.
Yes.
And everything he stood for, everything he represented. The Game because he brought the West Coast back.
Yes.
He brought the West Coast.
JC Young gonna be upset.
It was Jay.
Sorry, Jay.
Game played a major part. Snoop Dogg, I mean, he's Snoop. He's the biggest.
That's four?
Biggest ever. That's four. And then Kendrick Lamar.
Okay.
For the leader of the new school. Shout out to Dre, but he's not a rapper.
So you took Snoop off?
No, Snoop. I said Snoop.
All right.
And Ice Cube, honorable mention.
I was going there. I'm gonna go Nip.
Okay.
Pac.
Okay.
Snoop.
Okay.
Kendrick.
See?
And I was going to say Cube.
Cube for sure.
Ice Cube, very
too.
Important.
Super important. I'm going to go Cube.
He's so important.
He's my five. That's five.
Shout out to Ice Cube.
And then, some people might,
I think, YG and Rowdy, it's just, it's not.
Rowdy's kind of new.
It's too new. It's
but
too
here's
new.
The thing,
what
it's
about
not
Quick?
Because.
What about DJ Quick?
But not Corrupt is my. Here's the thing. YG is not. YG.
He's 10 years old.
Yes. Yeah, and also, let's be clear. Not to glorify a specific type of gang culture, but if we're talking about a true authenticity of a representation of a certain type of everything, YG embodies that, and he showed the world what it looked like, and the world got it from him. Let's not forget the records big.
Did they get it from him?
Yeah.
No, they got it from Snoop.
No, I'm saying.
They got it from Snoop.
I'm saying.
No, they got it from N.W.A.
Listen,
actually.
I'm saying gang wise. I'm not even trying to say gang wise, but I'm saying everything about his mannerisms, his moves.
No, he definitely represents
that's
it,
what I
but
mean.
They didn't get it
Snoop
from
is
him.
On. New generation.
Yeah.
And even Game in YG are even. The same but separate generations.
No, yeah,
almost.
They're different generations.
It's weird.
They're different generations. YG and Nipsey is the same generation, but YG is a bigger artist than Nipsey until Nipsey's last year.
Sure.
But YG was way bigger than Nipsey.
And let me tell you, here's the thing. Being from Los Angeles, music is what connected
everything.
The gang culture.
Mm-hmm.
In a normal setting, I'm not even saying specific. A Nip and a YG wouldn't be around each other.
Very important.
Yeah.
Music.
Yeah.
Music. So yes. YG, that's is very it's
last
important.
Time I checked, point video.
Last that video is incredibly
video.
When
important
they crossed
video.
Over on the separate colors, like all
important
of that.
Video.
You know what I mean? And let me say this too. OT Genesis. I gotta give
we
no.
We just ran into him.
Gotta give credit to OT Genesis on the West Coast side. Like what he did
Long
with
Beach.
His records.
Long Beach.
Big.
Monsters.
Monsters.
Beyonce danced to on the stage that made the HBC the culture.
That happened.
Very important.
That definitely
That's
happened.
It's an OT Genesis record.
Very it important. Is. Shout out to OT Genesis. I like a lot of the R&B artists out of the West Coast.
Oh,
too.
I do too. See,
it's a lot of Sir and all of those guys.
Janae Aiko.
Janae Slauson.
It's a lot of the West Coast.
Even West Coast. Keisha Cole from the West Coast. She ain't from LA. She from the Bay. But
Oakland.
First single.
Her from the Bay too.
Her.
Vallejo, California.
Kehlani.
True. Another
she
one.
She from Oakland. Shout out to Cali. We always had love for Cali.
And then you got to give your Marion's because he's from the West too.
Nah, we're not we talking about Marion.
Oh yeah, because that's the R&B. What we talking about?
Dance on your head.
He's a whole legend.
And let's talk about any person that's a certain age was a fan of B2K. Let's not even
play a major part. Yeah. Icebox is my joint.
What you
Touch
mean?
Is one of my joints.
Look at that dance sequence.
On Touch?
Yes.
Hard.
Yeah.
Well, for real? With
yeah.
That's a West Coast. That's he from Inglewood.
Yeah.
Daddy OG. Let's not like.
I'm don't play.
Just saying. Okay.
I have it, ladies and gentlemen. West Coast.
Play if you want. Real West Coast.
Play if you want. Oh.
Yes.
Boom.
Low riders.
And movies.
Yes.
Friday, South Central, Menace to Society.
No, I definitely played a major part.
Yeah, they had that poll, like East Coast like hood classics versus the West Coast ones.
What was it, like Juice and
we had Juice, New Jack City.
New Jack City. Above the Rim.
Tupac
and Above the Rim and Paid in Full.
And Paid in Full.
That was our
Paid in
Full.
That's one thing I don't think we have is a Paid in Full.
Paid in Full is probably the best movie I've ever made. Shout out to my brother Dame Dash.
Snowfall right now.
Nah, that's not.
It ain't.
No, show as a show.
But Paid in Full.
Paid in Full
man.
Is a great. It's a classic movie. Snowfall, it's a classic
cultural
movie.
Influence
power,
on that.
Power. That's New York.
Snowfall
power,
might be. But, it's better than Power.
No,
bro.
Power's cultural influence.
Two
is
good
different.
Seasons. Three good seasons.
Power's cultural
Ghost,
influence is different.
This Raising Kanan, though. Whoo. Those actors on that.
I like that.
Shout out to 50.
I like that.
Shout out to what? Shout out and to shout out to the whole 50, his whole team. How they doing? The BMF with the with the Ghost.
Not with me on this?
Yes.
Okay.
And rest in peace, John Singleton.
Yes.
Yes.
Regin.
All right, guys.
We could do this.
We
could
go on and on and on. We gotta do it behind the scenes. Troy, yeah. Housekeeping items.
Yeah. Shout out to everybody on Patreon.com. Shout out to every earner in EYL University. Over 12,000 of y'all. Shout out to y'all for executing on the information and spreading the word. That's the most important thing. After you learn, you go tell someone about what you learn. So shout out to all y'all and shout out to everybody. Shout out to the entire EYL team, the merch team, and everybody that's been supporting. Man, love is love.
I want to do that too.
You want to do it?
Go ahead. Housekeeping
items.
Shout out to everyone at EYL, the merch team, all of your earners, 12,000 plus earners. After you learn, you go tell someone and tell someone and tell someone.
Learn what you earn, right?
Learn what you earn. You see, I was giving the eyes in the camera because that's what I thought you were giving.
Tell a friend to tell a friend.
Yes, tell a friend to tell a friend.
All right, guys, thank you for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Bye.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Bag drop. A mic drop. Bag drop.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.